the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. As we read today's epistle, we can see that the scope and tone of St. Paul's letter to the Colossians was centered in the condition of one's heart. He stresses the point that they as Christians should conduct themselves wisely with unbelievers, giving particular care to how they communicate. He said, "Let your speech be seasoned with grace," quote unquote. Many years ago in my secular career, one of the colleges at which I worked, one day the vice president for the physical plant came to me and asked me to lead a retreat with all of the maintenance crew for the college. And there was a sizable number of them. It was a large school. And I said, "Well, I don't know, we're about what? A retreat about what?" And he said, "Language." I want you to give a retreat about language. We've got a real problem with some of our employees that, you know, don't pay much attention to what they say and how they say it and this, that, and the other. I wasn't completely comfortable with trying to do that, but we ended up having really a good time together and trying to make the point to them even, obviously not in the context of the church, but the sense of, you know, what's in our heart comes out of our mouth, or it tends to. And so that connection, I think some of them that particular day were awakened to a little bit. Archbishop of Berkey writes let our speech be seasoned with grace. What does that mean? He says that means that this is sincere, something that is sincere and is coming from the heart and full of benevolence, quote unquote. Archbishop of Berkey. It's a beautiful definition of our speech being seasoned with grace. Such a mindset arises out of a realization that God has poured out His grace and power in the lives of His people. In today's gospel, the 70 had returned from their ministry to Christ, and they were marveling that they had been able to cast out demons and to bring healing to many. To this, the Lord replied, "They should not marvel, but rather they should be thankful that their names were written in the book of life in the kingdom of God." The victory of victories that made their victories possible was the fall of Satan, the father of all demons, darkness, sin, and suffering. A very real entity, but a very real entity who has been in the most advanced state of reality. Defeated. And this, we see this picture of it here today when the Lord says, "I saw him falling like a lightning bolt." That's how decisively he was defeated. The minions that he still sends out, we have to contend with. And we can't contend with them on our own power, to be sure. But the grace and mercy of God indwelling us can enable us to face anything. And we're facing a lot of things now. A lot of things out there now. There always going to be something. As I said recently, when we get beyond this pandemic, there will be something else that will come along. All of this is part of the test. We have to encounter these things with faith in our Lord, firmly fixed on that, do our part faithfully, and He will provide the wherewithal that we need to deal with each and every challenge that comes along, including this pandemic, which I do not make light of. But it is nothing compared to the power and mercy and glory of God. And while we are in this pandemic, it gives us even a better opportunity to examine our own hearts, to root out what demons might lurk there, and to expose those things to the light of Christ. If we focus on the life of Christ in us, we should have every confidence that by God's grace, only any darkness that we encounter can and will be overthrown, starting, of course, in our own hearts. One can sense the context of fellowship in the sufferings of Christ that St. Paul conveys in today's epistle. The essence of Christianity is found in God's work in the hearts of His people, not buildings, not rules and regulations. Those things are not bad unto themselves, obviously. But that is not the gist, that is not the essence of what it means to be a Christian. St. Paul alludes in today's epistle to the church. Did you catch that? The church that was in the house of so-and-so. No doubt because of persecution. But the fact that they were praying and worshiping God in a house did not negate that was not a valid experience of communion with God. That would not negate the grace of God that was at work in those who gathered in that house to worship the Holy Trinity. So as we continue to deal with this pandemic and the other challenges that life has for us, let us stay close to our Lord, Jesus Christ. Let us focus on Him one day at a time, one moment at a time, fixing the eyes of our hearts on Him and fighting the forces of darkness, first and foremost in ourselves, by the grace of God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.